Your true nature is infinite presence. Your daily experience, most likely, is of total obsession with this tiny drop in the ocean that you identify with as you. This bouncing around, suffering, complicated organism that is completely one with and an expression of this infinite presence. And your awareness of that is about that deep. The tragedy of human life is that almost no human being knows who they are. The obsession with their drama, with each person's drama, is so absolute and complete that we get born into ignorance, we live in ignorance, and we die in ignorance. And mostly that ignorance causes enormous unhappiness and suffering and an occasional moment of happiness and bliss, enough to keep us going. Real happiness and bliss really happen. They are not conditioned by anything. So often we think it comes from a particular person or circumstance or situation. One of those things that arises like a perfect day. You go, wow, that was perfect. Or you're with somebody who you really care about and you just feel like just totally happy. Whatever it is that makes you happy, you tend to begin to crave. And the more you crave it, the more attention you bring to it, and pretty soon it doesn't make you happy. The nature of presence is that it is profoundly wise, simple, conscious, compassionate, forgiving, open, allowing, blissful, loving. It's everything you're looking for. Everything you're looking for is exactly what you are. You are built on, and you spring from, and you live within this remarkable truth. And you don't know it. The whole idea of meditation, of sitting still, is the journey to realizing who you are. It's the whole idea. Sit still and know who you are. I have a little plaque downstairs, and I have it in LA. It says, "Be still and know that I am." I think the full translation is, be still and know that I am God. But it's enough to say, be still and know that I am. And that's all that's required. Be still and have this extraordinary knowledge present itself. The whole core of this particular practice that Rudy taught is you sit still, you take a breath into your heart, and you ask inside for help, crucial idea, help, to surrender. To surrender what? To surrender all of this profound preoccupation you have with you, with your problems, your drama, your failed desires, your ambition, your attachments to absolutely everything. And what happens when you take that breath? And you ask inside for help to surrender. At some point, you actually do it. At some point, you actually go, and what you discover when you surrender, when you let go of you for 10 seconds, is everything I described a moment ago. This bliss, this accessibility to something so sweet and simple and real and essential. You find this place that's just there. It's somehow right in the middle of your heart, or it feels like it's in the middle of your heart. And you open to this thing. And for 10 seconds, it's like you've been welcomed back into yourself, literally into yourself, into the home that you have come from. You are the prodigal son for 10 seconds. However wayward you were in the world, the moment you come back to yourself, you are welcomed in. It loves you. It loves you. It has never not loved you. Ever. And you get this 10 seconds and you go, oh my God, why don't I live here? Why don't I stay here all the time? This is so sweet. It's so everything you're looking for in the world. Everything. You know, you think fame and fortune, oh, that'll give it to me. And those of you who get fame and fortune will discover that it doesn't. Money, property, children, husband, wife, it'll all give it to me. And you realize they just don't pull it off. But you go inside into this simple space in your heart and you go, oh, it's right there. It's right there. And at that moment, you love everybody around you. At that moment, you're grateful for everything you have in your life. At that moment, you don't need anything more. Everything is beautiful. Everything is infused with presence. Everything is exactly what you hoped it might become in the world. And you didn't have to go there to get it. You just had to go here. And where is here? It's where you are, right inside your own heart. And is it really in your heart? No. It's right here. You don't have to go anywhere. There's no, how can you go there? You're living in it. You are immersed in it. It surrounds you. It's even speaking to you right now. It is this extraordinary presence. It is completely, endlessly available to you. And why don't you have it? It's so interesting. I work with you all in class, and I've got to say, for almost the whole class, most of you are trying to get it. And the minute the class is over, and I do that second sweep, it's that moment where you're not trying that you're there. I look at each of you and you go, oh my God, every one of you is there. Because you stop trying. You're not trying to be there. You're not trying to be happy. You're not trying to be somewhere else. You're just sitting. Oh, thank God that's over. And that's really how it works. You've stopped making an effort and you realize for 2 seconds you really have arrived at where you've always been. And it's wonderful. And then about 12 seconds later, you get this feeling of, oh my God, brunch. You know, I'm hungry, I'm getting hungry. And then you go, oh, he's going to talk. And some of you settle in for that, and others of you resist it. But I have to say, already within seconds, you're starting to get back into the fabric of your tension, your sadness, your misery, or whatever else you want to call it. A lot of you don't think of it as that. A lot of you think of it as my life. You're back in your life with whatever it offers you, and it offers you so much. What's so fascinating to me is how, given a choice, and you are given a choice, you are going to pick suffering over surrender. Over and over and over again. You will pick drama, you will pick distraction, you will pick the life of the flesh and the body and the mind over the very thing you want. It's crazy. It's completely crazy. And we do it over and over and over our whole life until we die. Give me misery or give me death. And all you have to do is let go and be you, and everything you've ever looked for will come up. And it doesn't mean that suffering and misery in life will go away, because they don't. As long as you're in a body, you're going to have it. But you will see it from a very different perspective. You will see it from this place of aha. You will understand life. You will understand how people live. You'll understand why you should be compassionate for every soul on the planet, why you should love them, why their struggle mirrors your struggle. But what happens when you sit for this hour is that at certain points in this double breath, or at certain points in just sitting, you really do taste this truth. If you try to hold on to it, you run into trouble. Why do you run into trouble? Because trying to hold on to it begins to divide you. It becomes you and it. And you and it is an illusion. The fact that you think you're separate from that and you want to have it is the very source at the core of suffering. You can't have it. It is you. You are this. You are this one thing, period. You are, you can call it what you want, presence, life, God, whatever you want to call it, you are that. And the minute you separate out from that, you run into trouble. And we all have run into trouble, and the truth is, the universe has pushed us into this very thing. We come out of the womb crying. We come out of the womb and we're in this world, and we take that gulp of mother's milk and we go, I want this. I want this world. I want everything about this world. And we're thrown into this. It's not a mistake. This is not a mistake. The universe wants us to be born into a manifested state and to feel, touch, know, and experience love, joy, and suffering. Why does it want that? I don't even go there. How are you going to understand it? I don't think you can. But you can go into this place of presence when you realize what it is. You can go there and you just have this unbelievably powerful acceptance. I call it acceptance of the mystery, because trying to understand it separates you again. Accepting it, you become one with it. Somewhere on this journey of meditating every day for your whole life, which is what Rudy said we should do, something that separates us immediately from the masses, because you tell anybody, do something every day for the rest of your life, like half an hour a day, and they're going, whoa, not me. But once you've kind of committed to that idea, even if you don't sit every day, but ideally you do, what happens each time you sit, good days and bad days, and there will be both, days where you want to sit and days when you don't want to sit, but you sit, and what happens is you begin this journey back into this surrender. And you find it again. Some days you don't, but most days you go, and you find it. And what happens when you find it is there's a relaxation that takes place, and parts of you, little parts of you, fall off. Old patterns of identity, parts of you that you really used to think of as essential to you, just kind of melt away a little bit. And you start to feel a little freer, a little more open. You start to be more available to the life around you. And it feels good. And so there's this accumulation of spaciousness, which is a word Eckhart uses a lot. There's an accumulation of presence. And it's not vast, but it's there. And some of you will start to get this experience of maybe a few hours of, wow, oh my God, it's so simple, it's so beautiful. And you'll get it, and you're in the car driving, and you're loving everybody. Somebody pulls in front of you, and you know, you have to swerve the car, and you go, huh. And you don't, or if you get angry, it doesn't last long. It just melts into it, of course. You forgive their ignorance. Anyway, you have this wonderful state, and sometimes you actually get it for a prolonged period of time. You can have it for weeks, and sometimes you get it for months. And when you start to have it for weeks and months, you actually think this is permanent. You have arrived. And one day they show you that you haven't. One day you wake up and it just isn't there. Or you can even actually feel it sometimes, just go, and you're back into total obsession with you. It can be anything. It can be a work issue, a job situation, a love affair that's not working. I mean, it can be anything that starts to pull you back into this density of worldly being. There's great frustration in that. There's a great sense of failure. There's something Rudy called dark night of the soul, death and rebirth. You really do go through this thing of having thought you were there and discovering you weren't there. Of course, that's not true. You cannot not be there. But the blissful part, the joyful part, the perfection, suddenly is now part of the imperfection of living. And you make a distinction, all of us do, between I want the bliss and I don't want the crap. But you discover somewhere in the middle of all this that presence is full of crap. It's also full of bliss and whatever else it wants to be full of at any given moment. It is what it is. And the minute you come to accept the what is-ness of your life, you become one with truth, with what is happening. For better, for worse, you just join into it. And not that you stop suffering, but you don't suffer in the same way. You just go, thy will be done. It's tough work. It's really tough work. But that's what is brought to you when you become present. Tough work. But it's real work, and it's all about freeing yourself into accepting. When you're not free, you're into rejecting. Rejecting is not that, not that, not that. Acceptance is yes, yes, yes. Very different way to live. Very, very different way to live. Most of us live rejecting. I don't want that pain. I don't want that job. I don't want that failure. I don't want to be diminished. Whatever your thing is, you don't want, you don't want, you don't want. And the defining of yourself as not wanting limits you into this tiny thing that wants. And that little thing that wants is going to be very frustrated because it can't get what it wants in any place except this place where you accept what is. If this is confusing you, forgive me, but this is the non-duality of our existence. Our true existence is we are all that is. That's what we are. Awakening and enlightenment, your ego mind personality, does this remarkable thing. It just goes, and for a minute or two, something in you goes, You just look for it. What fell away? Where is this thing? Where is it? Something is gone. And then you realize you're gone. You have fallen off. That all these years of practice of letting go, letting go, letting go, suddenly you actually are let go of. It lets go of you. There's no you. There's just this. For a while, it really doesn't have your name, or personality, or goals, or ambitions, even your connections to people. It's all gone. And you're completely free. And then, your wife walks in the room, the call comes from your agent, the world starts to come back, and you're very confused by it. Because there's no you there. And yet the you has to function somehow, and you'll feel it kind of almost artificially reconstruct itself. And it has your name, it has your old personality kind of, and it starts to function in the world. And you become this fascinating blend of ego, mind, and universal self. I'll tell you my experience, which is not everyone's, but many people I've talked to. This ego-mind thing that reconstitutes itself has the power to come back as strong as it ever was. And you can get as lost in yourself after awakening as before, except that you have one different thing, which is you know it's not who you are. You know that you are this presence. And what you begin to do is step back. It's sort of the spiritual practice we've been doing all of our lives with Rudy. This surrender, this letting go. You just step back, take a breath, and you go, aha. And you're present again. You even know many of the times that in the most ego-minded craziness, that you're being ego-minded and crazy. You just watch it happen. You watch it happen. This last week for me was total ego-minded craziness. I've discussed this with some of you. This selling of the house has caused me a lot of grief because I don't want to let it go. There's a thing that's attached that's unbelievably sort of ego-mindedly holding it. And it's really painful. And I wonder, come Sunday, how do I teach class? How do I go and sit in this class with having been this crazed, ego-minded entity? And then I sit down in this room, and each of you arrives, you're here, and this thing just goes, and it goes, it makes itself known because you're here. Because we have come together and it makes itself known. It happens every time. It completely transforms and reabsorbs that ego mind and returns me to self. So, I have enormous gratitude for you guys coming here because you give me back myself. In a week like this, I found that very hard to do during the week, really hard. And I tell you that because so many people think, oh, awakened, enlightened, it's all over, you don't have to struggle. It's just the opposite. What's going to happen when awakening and enlightenment occur is they take everything. And you don't even know what everything is until they say, we're taking your house. And there's a long list of stuff that you're not prepared for. The first thing they took from me was my career. That fell away the very first day. I awakened and suddenly I was no longer a writer. I was no longer in the movie business. Just gone. And I didn't miss it for a second. It just left. So many things fell away in the instantaneous awakening. And I thought, wow, it's done. Well, not true. Done is when you're done. And you still got a body, and you still have a body that's going to go through a lot of stuff. And then I got a granddaughter, and I realized a level of attachment I'd never even known before. And then I realized I feel so connected to every human being on this planet that my own problems, my own drama, was now magnified by the fact that everybody's suffering was my suffering. Everybody. If you come to me with a problem, it's my problem. Not Bruce's problem. The problem of the self, of presence. All it wants, all presence wants, is for you to know yourself. That's all it wants. It wants you to have connection to, awareness of, immersion in who you truly are. That's all it wants. All I want is to help make that happen. That's all I care about. And I see it happen for moments. Like I said, at the end of the class, when I look around, I realize whether you know it or not, you're there. I would like you to know that you're there. I really would like that. And this practice that we do is a journey into moment-to-moment surrender. If we keep practicing cutting off little parts of ourself, letting go of little things, old habits, old forms, old ideas, all these things that start to fall away or that we can throw away or that nature takes away. If we just let it all go, we become freer and freer and freer. And ultimately, when they take you away, there's nothing to it. Meditation is a slow motion awakening. It's happening. If you give yourself to this practice and you really do it, you will be freer and freer every single day. If you're haphazard about it, if you're occasional about it, it won't happen as readily. It just won't. How can it? I compare it to going to the gym. You know, you go to the gym once a week or once a month. Not bad, but it's not going to build muscle. You meditate once a week or once a month, you know, it's not bad, but it's just going to give you, 12 seconds of bliss. It's okay. But you can have really profound, awakened freedom as a human being. And every one of us is living a life that gives us that opportunity moment to moment to moment to moment. If you're living a conscious, meditative life, you will become this thing that you already are. If you're not living it, you will end up at the end of your life with 12 seconds maybe to figure this all out. Having gone through a lifetime of figuring it out, 12 seconds is going to be really tricky. So, I'll tell you again, you are the very thing you're looking for. You are presence itself. You are universal truth. You are the source of and the essence of beauty. You are what gives the universe meaning and purpose. You are the defining principle of life. You are the most amazing creatures that you can possibly imagine. And if you miss that on the ride, well, I suspect they let you try again. But you're here now. This is it. This is the moment. Figure it out. Do the work. Don't be lazy. Don't put it off. do it. Settle in and just sit still and be there. Because it's what you want. It's why you're here. It's why you were born. To have a manifested entity know itself seems to be the purpose of life. You are that entity. This is your time. This is your moment. Do it. Do it. You come here. You ask for it. Take it. It's completely available. Completely. You really don't want to wait. Any questions? June.
Thank you so much. And thank you for coming here, for being here over and over again.
Well, thank you for being here.
I photographed a bar mitzvah yesterday, and that used to be my identity, and I haven't done one in like a year and a half, and it was really kind of a strange experience. I've done two other bar mitzvahs for this family, other children of theirs, and they're very sweet, so there was like, you know, just sweetness, and they know me, and or whatever, but I felt completely exhausted afterward. Like, you know, reconstructing, going into how the ego used to identify itself, I think was exhausting. And there wasn't a lot of drama that there used to be about, you know, what I used to think about when I was at these events and the comparisons and the drama of what I didn't have or, you know, all these things. It wasn't there, but there was just exhaustion. And I'm wondering if you experienced
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm writing this TV show with my son. I used to sit down and write and write and write. I am so wiped out working on that show. I have never experienced that kind of exhaustion because I have to tap into a part of me that I don't even know anymore to make that happen.
Yeah.
And I don't love it. I really don't. I mean, in many ways, I hope nobody's watching this one, I would prefer not to be doing it, but I want my son and I to have this moment together, which is really what the value of all this is.
Yeah.
So it's really, there's some real beauty in it, but it is really exhausting.
Yeah.
Trying to be what you were is hard.
Yeah.
You know?
I prefer not to do it.
Well, and you prefer it, but it's what came.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
do it and be exhausted.
Yeah. And it was funny, the girl being bat mitzvah was Julia.
Oh.
So everything was Julia, 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 Julia.
No, I mean,
that was
look,
another element.
If I was writing a movie, that would be a good scene. That's kind of how it works. I mean, the universe creates amazing scenes.
Yeah.
You know, and if you start to look at your own life as part of the unfolding drama, it is.
Yeah.
You know, we have these extraordinary lives with, I mean, we're better melodramas than half the TV shows, you know, the stuff that's on in the afternoon, you know.
Yeah.
You know, people would much rather watch your life if they knew what it was. Their lives are fascinating, but not to get caught in them.
Yeah.
To get caught in them is where we run into trouble. And, you know, I spent the last week caught. And I can tell you, I've not suffered like that in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I feel so stupid for it on one level. On another level, I know it's pulling me apart, almost literally pulling me apart.
Yeah.
And that hurts, but it also liberates.
Yeah. And then afterward, the father expressed, you know, expressed how much love they have for me. And he gave me a bottle of wine as a gift, which is, you know, I've been sober almost 12 years. And I said, thank you. And I accepted it as an expression of love and then gave it to a friend and then kind of had a little bit of an awakening that later that they were just expressing love and I could just love them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anybody else? toward.
What happened to ignorance is bliss?
It's a really good question, because a lot of people buy into that. Try it for a while and tell me. it's a real problem. It's just, I really watch most people living lives in a state of total ignorance. Total ignorance, making the most unbelievably disastrous choices. And they weave the worst possible karma imaginable. And you look at them and you go, do you have any idea what you're doing? Because you have to unweave all that stuff. You have to do it. You know? And if you do, I mean, I don't know about lifetimes. I really don't know. But I can see how it would work. I mean, how can you unweave, you know, half a month's of ignorance in a lifetime, let alone a lifetime's worth of ignorance in a lifetime? It gets so awful. Luckily, most of us have our comeuppance somewhere midway through your life. All of the crazy, stupid things you did start to come back to you. And a lot of karma is, in a sense, unwoven or, in a sense, at least acknowledged. And you start to pay a price for what you did, and you learn a lot. And then somewhere along the way, you might actually find yourself saying, I need to meditate. I need something. I need help. And, you know, people choose different forms of help, but they will look, if they're smart, to something that will bring them to truth. If they don't find that, then they just create other stupid choices that are going to bring them into more suffering down the road. This is not an easy journey, and it's not for lightweights. This is a heavy ride with unbelievably wonderful outcome if you're lucky. If you really work for it, realization of who you are is everything you ever wanted from the beginning of time. Ever. It's the complete, absolute payoff. Absolute. There is nothing more that you want than what realization provides. And yet we go through lifetime after lifetime of trying to find it this way or that way. You know, next lifetime I want to be an intellectual. I want to be a creative writer. Then next lifetime I want to be beautiful and sexy. Then the next lifetime I want to be. You keep finding the thing that you're going to think is going to finally give it to you, and none of it works. And you take so many journeys, and you mess them up so badly that somewhere along the way you've got to take 500 more journeys to undo the ones you've already done to finally get back to maybe living in a Buddhist monastery and saying, please get me out of this trap, because I'm so messed up. And that's a gift. But until you get to that point, you are just caught in this unending drama that you have created. And that the universe loves watching. It loves it. It finds such joy and pleasure in our crazy, stupid lives. You know, Rudy used to talk about the guys on Mars or somewhere watching, tuning into us on a regular basis, like the whole planet is watching. Oh, here they go again. Wow, now we're, oh my God, Syria. Oh my God, this is great. Turkey, wow. You know, they go and they think it's the most extraordinary story. And all that horrible, horrible suffering that occurs, children dying, people getting maimed, all of this stuff, it looks like the worst possible thing that could ever happen. And yet, in the ultimate resolution, in the ultimate final gathering together, no matter how horrible it's been, no matter how ugly and dark and awful, it resolves itself into this thing, I don't know what to call it, into this nothing of such overwhelming completion and beauty and reabsorption into light, reabsorption into truth, that every bit of suffering makes sense. Everything you went through was okay. That somehow you were honored for every sniffle you had, for every pain you suffered. Somehow the universe just takes you back, and you will feel truly like the prodigal son returning. Anyone else? Yes?
I'm curious about if I have a favorite chair, why do I have to part with it? If it's going to make me suffer to part with my chair, why do I part with it?
Well, I don't suppose you will until you have to.
Okay. When you have to. So so I could keep it forever.
Well, until your body's gone.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly. But you may find that the greatest suffering you've ever experienced is the fact that you're not going to be able to sit in that chair again, and someone else is going to have your chair. It happens to people.
You know? I like looking at it, though.
That's great. That's great. But I mean, in the subjective sense, so much of suffering is attachment, and attachment is the thing we can't surrender. And the attachment, it's not just to a chair. Wait till you see how much attachment you have, I call it, to things like breathing.
Yeah, breathing is a big one.
Yeah. It's really important to understand attachment, because you have to ultimately let go of everything. And it's a big leap of faith, but you do. And all these little attachments, like to that favorite chair, are going to be one more thing that has to be cut off. And it's not that you have to throw the chair away, you just have to let go of the attachment to the chair. You know, I don't keep referring to this house. I walk around this property and I go, I can't walk away from this. Blanche did those flowers and those bushes and everything is so pretty, and I keep going, how can I walk away from it? You know how? Get in the car. And you drive up the drive, and you cry all the way to wherever you're going, and then you're where you are. That's how you do it. Okay, long enough. Thank you guys for coming, and we'll keep doing this until we leave here. So, thank you.